Last Saturday, September the 24th, the First Christian Church in Katy, Texas hosted Drag Queen Bingo Night to raise money for their outreach to so-called transgender youth. And why? Because the pastor, Katie Tollison, there said, that's what Jesus would do. So a church that calls itself Christian not only has perverted, delusional, cross-dressing men parading around the church, they're also helping to brainwash little boys and girls into thinking that they're really little girls and boys, all, of course, in the name of Jesus. God help us, people. The church has gone from the faith once delivered to the saints to delivering little kids to perverts and pedophiles. The church today is so far divorced from any godly sense of right and wrong. This is Twilight Zone. And why is it happening? Because too many churches and too many Christians today have totally blown off right doctrine, truth and principles and standards that all Christians are supposed to believe and teach and live by. And the church is dying today because of the neglect right in front of our very eyes. We're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series this morning here at Fox River, a short series called Doctrine Matters, looking at several absolutely critical doctrines that too many churches and too many Christians are ignoring to their doom. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the doctrine of Scripture, because it's the Bible where we're supposed to get all the rest of our doctrine to start with. And to see that, we turn today to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You have your Bibles, turn with me please, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul writes, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And in a day and age where people are just throwing out the Bible, including people who call themselves Christians, I pray that you would just give us a brand new appreciation today for your word. And Lord, how much we need to be applying it and trusting it for the future. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of Hebrews chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is telling us about the dangers of doubting and not believing God. And in our text today, Paul tells us why we should never doubt and always believe what God says. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, the only way that we're ever going to get any of the other doctrine right at all is if we first of all get our doctrine right about the Bible. Our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, tells us three things that we need to remember about the Bible before the church goes off the deep end for good. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to remember about the Bible is the Bible is the Word of God. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 12. This is a Bible. Am I going too fast for anybody? Holy Bible. Biblos meaning book, holy meaning separate or different. Because this is not just a word about God, this is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God, which literally means God breathed. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, 775,693 words, and every single one of them breathed by the mouth of God. Thus saith the Lord, the Bible is the Word of God. We know the Bible is the Word of God because the Bible is true. Not one place in this book do you ever read, once upon a time, or long, long ago, in a galaxy far, far away. The Bible is not only inspired, it's also inerrant and infallible. Which means not only aren't there any mistakes in the Bible, there can't be any mistakes in the Bible. Got a letter last year, said Kevin. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus calls a whale a big fish. And every biologist knows that a whale is not a fish, technically it's a mammal. So Jesus made a mistake and the Bible isn't true. Jesus didn't speak English. So Jesus never once used the words whale or fish. And the Aramaic word that Jesus used there, translated into the Greek, simply means big sea creature. Which is exactly what Jonah was talking about. Nice try. Teacher asked her class one day to think of a story that they believed was true. Little boy said, well, I believe that the story of Jonah and the whale in the Bible is true. The teacher said, how can you believe that a man actually got swallowed by a whale? How can you prove that story is true? Little boy said, well, I get to heaven someday, I'm going to meet Jonah and ask him. The teacher said, well, what if Jonah's in hell? Little boy said, well, then you can meet him and ask him when you see him there. The Bible is true. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, but Kevin, evolution proves that there's mistakes in the Bible. Evolution? Here's evolution. The belief that there was nothing and nothing happened to nothing and then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything. And then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits that magically turned into dinosaurs. Sure, makes perfect sense to me. Here's a list of all the mistakes in the Bible. Want to hear it again? The Bible is true. The Bible says you eat too much, you're going to puke. That's true. The Bible says it is an honor to be married. That word to honor in the Hebrew literally means to make somebody fat. Harvard University study last year, married people on average are fatter than single people. The Bible is true. 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 13 says God will wipe out Jerusalem like a man wipes a dish. Wives, there's all the proof you need. Men should be doing dishes. It says so in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 13 says loud women without wisdom or knowledge are fools. And if anybody's ever watched even 5 seconds of The View, you know that's true. John 17:17, thy word is truth. And why? Because this is the Word of God written down by men who were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write exactly what God wanted them to write. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. So the Bible has the final word and authority on absolutely everything. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says it, that settles it. The Bible is the Word of God. But the problem is today, the church has abandoned the Word. You're supposed to get your doctrine from the Bible. So if you ditch the Bible, you ditch all your doctrine. And that's exactly what's happened. And I've heard all the excuses that people make with Scripture. Well, Kevin, the Bible just contains the Word of God. No, the Bible is the Word of God. Well, Kevin, Genesis chapters 1 through 11, that's not true, but the rest of the Bible is. No, because John 10:35 says it's all or nothing. If I can't trust what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, how am I supposed to trust what it says in John 3:16? All kinds of churches today are only using the Gospels and not using the letters of Paul because they don't think Jesus says anything negative in the Gospels about homosexuality. But He does. Matthew 19:7. Marriage consists of one man and one woman. I could go on and on. And what's the result of all the caving and the compromising on the Word of God? You get drag queen pastors, like you see in the video.
Watch this.
I am a woman. I am queer. I am transgender. And when I came out, when I lost privilege in this society, and I can't walk down the street in such safety as I used to, and I can't walk into just any place, and I can't pee.
People, you talk about an abomination. Is your nation's security an issue according to God's Word? Do you see why doctrine matters? The fastest way to kill a church, the fastest way to kill a denomination is to ignore the Word of God. Because when you reject the Bible, you reject the God who wrote the Bible, and God leaves and takes all of His blessings with Him. And that's exactly what's happened. Famous Iliff Seminary in Denver, Colorado is now teaching Wicca to seminary students. The Mennonite Church USA, the Mennonites, now say they have completely embraced the spiritual giftedness of the LGBTQ agenda. United Methodist Church split last May because half of those people think that sodomy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Presbyterian Church USA right now is hemorrhaging members so bad in the next 20 years they're going to cease to exist. The ship is sinking, folks. For crying out loud, give people the Word of God. Preach the Word. The Bible is still true. Sin is still wrong. Heaven is still hot. And Jesus Christ is still the only way to salvation. The only hope the church has is to go back to the Bible. Because you don't trust the Bible, what else are you going to trust? So-called science that's doing all of that? Last Saturday, January 7th, during Old Dominion's basketball game against Georgia Southern, that happened.
or watch first half of their game today. Keep your eyes on number 3, right side of your screen. That's Emo Essien. Sophomore guard stops, then slowly goes down to the ground. Players from both teams visibly upset after watching. Take a look. A number of ODU players were seen crying, looking on, and hoping their teammate was okay.
Last Sunday night, 20-year-old Canadian TV reporter named Jessica Robb collapses on air with a medical issue. Just last Tuesday, 21-year-old Air Force Academy football player Hunter Brown falls over and dies of a heart attack just walking to class. I could go on and on and on, because all over America right now, all over the world, 20 to 30-somethings in the prime of their lives are just falling over, and many of them are dying from something doctors are calling sudden adult death syndrome. Happened to Damar Hamlin Monday night, January the 2nd, on the football field in Cincinnati, and lost in the shuffle. Former NFL star Uche Uwonere died last December the 30th of a heart attack at the age of 38. They're dying, people. They are dropping like flies. So many, 1 out of 4 Americans now know somebody who just died suddenly. Here's the numbers. The CDC admits that as many as 118,000 young people and young adults in the United States have died suddenly over the last 2 years. The WHO is reporting that so many 20 to 30-somethings all over the world are dying. Average life expectancy worldwide is now almost 3 years lower. And you know what all those people have in common? They all got the COVID vaccine. Even Damar Hamlin was double vaxxed and double boosted to the max. And I know all the COVIDians here in this are saying, Kevin, no, no, no. It's got nothing to do with the vaccine. Because these people dying, this is just normal. Folks, on what planet bizarro is this normal? Because a football player hadn't died in the NFL on a field in over 50 years. And these are super athletes who have to have their hearts checked before they're even allowed to compete. Now doctors are saying, well, it's a condition called commotio cordis, where people die because they get hit in the heart. But the vast majority of people who are dying don't get hit at all. People say, well, it's COVID that's doing it. No, because the vast majority of people who are dying aren't tested positive for COVID at all. Doctors are saying, well, it's stress. It's arterial constriction because of stress. But if that's the case, how come millions of husbands and wives aren't dying of heart attacks every single day when they argue with each other? You know what Dr. Fauci says it is? Anti-vax propaganda. Saying bad things about the vaccine is scaring people so bad, when they get vaccinated, they're dying of fear. Are you serious? Because Uche Uwonere was not afraid of the vaccine. He was a vaccine activist and even said people who weren't vaccinated ought to be put in jail. Why don't you ask him what he thinks about it? Oh, that's right, you can't, because he's dead. Myocarditis regularly occurs in 4 out of 1 million people. After the vaccine, it's occurring in over 25,000 out of 1 million people. A study from Finland shows people who are vaccinated are 4 times more likely to die early or get a serious illness than unvaccinated people. I can go on and on. And you know why this is? Because that vaccine forces your body to produce spike proteins just like the virus does. Pfizer even admitted in 2021 their vaccine causes thrombosis in the veins. They don't call it the clot shot for nothing. But see, when you say that, the crazy thing is, people jump all over you. You say anything sideways about that vaccine in any way, shape, or form, you get barbecued and censored. After Damar Hamlin went down on the field, Monday Night Football, Adam Kinzinger tweeted out this: all you anti-vaxxers who are blaming these injuries and deaths on the vaccine, you are absolutely the biggest pieces of human garbage that can possibly exist, because you have no right to question why this is happening. And my question is, why? Why can't you question? What is this, Stalinist Russia? Big Brother comes up with an experimental vaccine that has never been used on human beings before, with that kind of a body count and no liability for damage, and wants to stab that into you and your babies for a virus that has a 99.8% survivability rate even without the vaccine, and you can't question why? And what's even crazier, not only can't you question, they won't even investigate it. I thought following the science was about following the evidence to wherever it leads. But no, today, the science is just protecting the vaccine at all costs. And following their version of the science to the conclusion they want you to come to, just shut up, line up, and jab up. Well, it's not about keeping you safe. It's about getting you vaxxed. And I'm not slamming anybody here today that got vaccinated. My point is, who are we supposed to trust? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, do not trust vain babblings and what is falsely called science. You trust God who fearfully and wonderfully made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit with an immune system that can fight off any virus that comes along as long as we feed it and take care of it like God tells us to. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. It's all in the Bible. So you don't beat COVID with the Fauci-ouchie. You beat COVID with the Word of God. The first thing that we need to remember about the Bible is the Word of God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to remember about the Bible. The Bible is not only the Word of God, the Bible is also living and active. And that's also what Paul tells us here in verse 12. Living and active and powerful. Living and powerful because every time you read this Bible, a living, powerful God speaks to you through it. Powerful to change your life. Pop singer Katy Perry grew up in a Christian home with parents who were Christian evangelists. 2008, she came out with that song and hit the big time. I kissed the girl and I liked it. And then she went totally and completely off the rails. Then about 6 years ago, Katy Perry started turning back to God. Kissed Orlando Bloom, got married, had a baby, and now she likes all that even better. This is what Katy Perry said. I realized after I hit the top, my life wasn't working and I was self-destructing. So I went back and started reading the Bible again, like I was taught to growing up. And it really did help straighten out a lot of things. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful to fix every single issue that we are dealing with today. If Christians would just apply it, all kinds of churches today are pushing what's called creation care. The idea that we're not supposed to be witnesses in order to save people. We're supposed to be eco-justice warriors in order to save the planet from imaginary man-made climate change. Listen, the Bible says there's only two real climate changes. In the past, when God flooded the earth, and in the future, when God torches the earth. So man doesn't change the climate, God does. Any questions? And what's behind all this creation care is idolatry. The worship of Gaia, the Earth Mother. And you see it everywhere, especially in the Avatar movies. See the resemblance? Folks, you don't worship Mother Earth. You worship Father God. Planet Earth is the only planet in our entire solar system that is not named after a pagan god. So you won't worship it. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, the heavens belong to the Lord our God, but the earth He has given to us sons of men for us to use. Especially the oil and the fossil fuel. So for crying out loud, work till it hurts and drill till it squirts. So much for creation care. Gun-grabbing activist John Pavlovich said this, you hypocritical evangelical Christians, how can you pack heat and then claim to follow Jesus who turned the other cheek to violence? Tell me one verse, even one verse in the Bible that you think gives all you gun-loving Jesus followers the so-called right to own a firearm. Okay, Exodus chapter 22, verses 2 and 3. Somebody breaks into your house in the middle of the night, you have a God-given right to defend yourself and even kill them if you have to. Because that front door that they kicked in was locked for their protection, not yours. You have a God-given right from God's Word to defend yourself, your family, and your property. Which is why the Declaration of Independence says you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And why there's a Second Amendment in the Constitution for your right to bear arms. And because the right doesn't come from government, it comes from God. Government can't take it away. See what it says? Shall not be infringed. Joe Biden always likes to say, you don't need 30 rounds to kill a deer. Yeah, because the Second Amendment wasn't written in case deer turn against you. There's absolutely nothing in the Second Amendment that says anything about hunting. Because the Second Amendment is not about your right to hunt. It is about your right to defend yourself against thugs and even your own government if you have to. Thomas Jefferson said this, the strongest reason for the people to have the right to bear arms is to protect themselves from tyrannical government. The reason there's a Second Amendment is to make sure your government doesn't take away your First Amendment. Parents, you've got God-given authority from the Word of God as parents. Over your kids, you lead, they follow. So when your kids ask you if they can change genders, you tell them no. But see, the American Psychological Association is telling you parents today, you're just supposed to be supportive and affirming of whatever it is your kids choose to do. So the kids are supposed to be the ones calling all the shots. And what's the result? Kids can't drive till they're 16. They can't vote till they're 18. They can't drink till they're 21. But they can know that they're transgender when they're only 3. People, this is absolute insanity. Parents have totally abdicated their God-given authority and responsibility. So hospitals all over America right now are cutting off the breasts of prepubescent girls for no medical reason whatsoever, just because they say they're boys. Do we see where we are as a nation? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16, woe to you when your king is a child. People, we have made an absolute mess of this country and the church because Christians will not apply the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Powerful for all kinds of things. Last fall, 25-year-old Hannah Cole and her husband from Wisby, England, were expecting their second baby, and they knew it was going to be a little boy. But then 20 weeks into the pregnancy, her water broke. Husband rushed her to the Bradford Royal Infirmary. Doctors took a whole bunch of tests. There was no heartbeat. There was no brain activity. That baby inside of her was dead. So doctors came to her hospital room and said, we've got to induce. Sorry for your loss. But Hannah Cole and her husband said, we are born-again Christians. And we believe with all of our hearts that God can make that baby live. So they refused to induce, and they just started claiming that promise. John chapter 6, verse 63, His words are spirit and they are life. Doctors came into her hospital room every single day, said, your baby is dead. We need to take the baby out. And they just kept claiming over and over again, speak into Hannah's belly. His words are spirit and they are life. His words are spirit and they are life. And because she was in such a fragile condition, doctors wouldn't discharge her and they wouldn't kick her out. That went on for 4 weeks. Finally, 12 doctors, all the doctors in the hospital came to her room and said, listen, we have the proof right here. Your baby is dead. There's no sign of life. And if you don't let us take that baby out, you're going to die from infection. Absolutely not. His words are spirit and they are life. His words are spirit and they are life. And what do you know? Last October the 30th, Hannah Cole went into labor, delivered a 1-pound, 7-ounce baby just as alive as can be, and today he is healthy as a horse. Doctors apologized to the couple for causing stress and said what happened to that baby was an absolute miracle of God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God's word that goes forth from His mouth shall not return void, but shall accomplish that which He proposes and prosper in the thing for which He sent it. So Christians, let me ask you this morning, what is that dead thing in your life right now that you need to speak the Word of God to, that you need to make alive again? The Word of God is living and active, which means it not only tells us what's happening right now, it also tells us what's going to happen in the future. John chapter 9, Jesus healed a man who was born blind at a place in Jerusalem called the Pool of Siloam. And for eons, tourists going to Jerusalem saw the Pool of Siloam looking like that, just a little sliver of water. But then 2004, when Jewish plumbers were working on a sewer pipe in East Jerusalem, they discovered the rest of the Pool of Siloam that the Romans had destroyed and filled in 70 AD. Some of it even had an old housing complex standing on top of it. So for the last 18 years, Jewish archaeologists have been working like crazy to show us how big the Pool of Siloam really is, with steps leading down into it over 100 yards long. And archaeologists figured out it wasn't just a wishing well. It was a huge ritual bath called a mikveh that Jewish pilgrims to Jerusalem would use to bathe in, so that they could be ritually clean, so then they could go up the mount, the Temple Mount, and worship God at the temple. Then 2014, archaeologists also discovered what's called the Pilgrim Pathway, or the Step Street, the path that the Jewish pilgrims would use to go from the Pool of Siloam up the Temple Mount to the temple. A pathway that the Romans paved during the time of Pontius Pilate. This is a road that Jesus would have walked on. And that Pilgrim Pathway was like the Mag Mile in ancient Jerusalem because it wound right through the heart of the city with shops and booths on both sides. So for the last 18 years, Jewish archaeologists have been working like mad to restore the whole thing. And the Jewish Antiquities Society announced last month, for the first time in 2,000 years, the Pool of Siloam and the Pilgrim Pathway will be open to the public and the tourists this year, 2023. But the question is, why would the Jewish archaeologists work so hard and so fast on a ritual pool for the temple and an old pathway going up to the temple? I'll tell you why. Because they know that there's going to be another temple that pool and that pathway are going to be used for. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. There will be a third temple on that Temple Mount in Jerusalem during the time of the Great Tribulation. Because in case you don't know, there isn't a Jewish temple up there now. Because the last Jewish temple, Herod's temple, was destroyed in 70 AD. And during the next 800 years, the Muslims built two Muslim mosques up there because Muslims claim Muhammad had a dream that he picked his nose there one night. So all of a sudden, it's the third holiest site in Islam. They're just doing that to stick it to the Jews. And those Muslims are so rabid and so Jew-hating there. How in the world is there ever going to be another temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? Well, back in 2020... United Arab Emirates President Mohammed bin Zayed helped President Donald Trump get the Abraham Accord signed between Israel and several Muslim countries, bringing in billions more dollars of trade money to Israel. Then when Joe Biden took office, he added the two-state solution to the Abraham Accords. So if Israel was going to keep benefiting from the Accords, they had to agree to divide up the land to create a Palestinian nation within Israel, something they know that God condemns. But almost every Muslim nation now is telling Israel, if they do agree to the two-state solution, they will let them build a third temple on the Temple Mount, something millions of Jews are dying to have, and Saudi Arabia has even offered to pay for it. But it's a deal with the devil, because not one single time anywhere in the Bible does God ever command that third temple to be built. The first temple under Solomon and the second one built by Herod, yes. But after those, the only temple God talks about is the one Jesus will build during the millennium, which is not the one that will be there during the Great Tribulation. So how is that temple ever going to come about? Well, the Bible says after the rapture, when the Antichrist appears, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, God will send a powerful delusion. And Jews and Muslims alike will believe the lie that the Antichrist is really Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist will set up a statue of himself in that temple in Jerusalem and claim to be God. And people from all over the world will flock to Jerusalem and bathe in that restored Pool of Siloam and walk up that restored pilgrim pathway to worship the Antichrist at the temple. And how do we know that time is getting close? Benjamin Netanyahu's first official state visit as the new Prime Minister of Israel was to where last week? United Arab Emirates. To talk to who? Mohammed bin Zayed. So the same person who got Pope Francis to sign off on the Abrahamic House of Faith, the international headquarters for the one world religion of the Antichrist in Dubai, is the same man who's going to get Benjamin Netanyahu to sign off on the temple of the Antichrist in Jerusalem. And how do we know that? Because this is what Mohammed bin Zayed said after that meeting. Our meeting was productive in advancing the cooperation between the Abrahamic Family House of Faith and the Nation of Israel, the two-state solution, and in moving toward the construction of the third temple that could begin as early as this year. Did you catch that? Early as this year. 2023! And what, according to the Bible, is going to happen before the temple starts and before the Antichrist appears? The rapture of the church. People in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we could be out of here. The reason the Pool of Siloam and the Pilgrim Pathway is being revealed right now for the first time in 2,000 years is because now is when it's all coming together. The Word of God not only tells us what happened in the past, it's not only telling us what happens right now, it also tells us what's going to happen in the future. The Word of God is powerful. And because of that, Psalm 119, verse 44, in that Word, we put our hope. The second thing we need to remember about the Bible is living and active. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to remember about the Bible. Not only is the Bible the Word of God, not only is the Bible living and active, but third, the Bible also pierces and judges. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 12. A two-edged sword. that pierces and judges even the thoughts and the motives of people's hearts. Because every time you read this Bible, the Holy Spirit is doing heart surgery on you. Candace Boer, actress, Kirk Cameron's sister, did over 40 movies for the Hallmark Channel till last April when the Hallmark Channel started making movies about gay couples. So Candace Boer quit and started her own network, the Great American Family Network, that's only going to show movies about the blessings of biblical traditional marriage. And why did she do it? Candace Boer said this. All the while I was on that network that was featuring gay marriages, that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, kept convicting my heart. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of Jesus Christ. So I knew I couldn't be a part of something that wasn't glorifying God anymore. The Word of God pierces and judges. The Word of God pierces and judges and exposes and lays bare the motives of people's hearts. And because of that, we can know what's really going on with all kinds of things that are happening today. Last December the 6th, Nancy Pelosi and Congress honored Capitol Hill police officers who were on duty on January the 6th by giving them congressional gold medals. But the funny thing is, some of those Capitol Hill police officers purposely took down barricades so that protesters could get to the Capitol building. And other Capitol Hill police officers purposely opened doors so that protesters could get inside the building. So why are you honoring law enforcement that failed to do their job? Or did they really fail? Because the day before, on January the 5th, Capitol Hill police did a walk-through practice evacuation with members of Congress. But get this, only with Democrats, not with the Republicans. Gee, what did they know was coming the next day? And on January the 6th, President Donald Trump offered them 10,000 National Guard troops to keep law and order. They refused to use them. What does Jesus say is the number one mark of the last days? Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Deception. See what's really happening? See what's really going on? Last Tuesday, J.B. Pritzker finally got his automatic rifle banned in Illinois. J.B. Pritzker is always snarky and asks that question. Why do you need an AR-15? Gee, why did Rosa Parks need to sit in the front of the bus? Listen, you don't ever have to prove why you need to exercise any God-given constitutional right that you have. The first rule of gun safety, never let government take away your guns. And it's crazy, because your odds of being killed by an automatic rifle anywhere in America are 1 in 1,000,000. Chicago has the strictest gun laws of any big city in America and still has a murder rate that's higher than New York City and Los Angeles combined. Because gun bans don't stop gun crimes. They just keep law-abiding citizens from defending themselves. J.B. Pritzker has been protected by armed security his entire life. So why should he care if you're not armed and you can't provide your own security for yourself? And one of the biggest reasons he did it, he thinks that an automatic rifle ban in Illinois is going to help him be president someday. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 14. He who plots evil with deceit in his heart stirs up deception. Do we see what's happening? Do we see what's really going on? The Word of God pierces and judges. Pierces and judges people's hearts. So Christians, what do we need to do with it? We need to stand on that Word of God, no matter what. For years, Pamela Richards was a math teacher at the middle school in Fort Riley, Kansas. But last year she got fired for refusing to use the preferred name of a student who identified there as transgender. And, along with the help of the school, was keeping that transition hidden from his parents. So Pamela Richard filed a lawsuit against that school. And in that lawsuit, she said she knew as a Christian it wasn't honest to call the kid one name in school and then to refer to him by another name to his parents. And it was deceiving the parents. Because parents have a God-given right to control the education and the upbringing of their child. So she did what the Bible told her to do. She only referred to that boy by the name that his parents wrote on the official Truel scan script in the office. And what do you know? Last May, a federal judge ruled that that school give Pamela Richards her job back along with $95,000 in back pay and damages for violating her First Amendment constitutional rights. The Word of God pierces and judges. pierces and judges. Pierces and judges. But sometimes when we don't respond to it and we don't let it pierce us, it just judges. Period. Last Tuesday, the last day of the lame duck session in Springfield, the Illinois State Legislature passed a Planned Parenthood wish list that makes it even easier to destroy even more children and kill even more babies in the state of Illinois. This is some of the sleazy stuff that bill allows for. Allows even nurses and midwives to do abortions in Illinois. Allows doctors who've lost their medical licenses in other states to do abortions in Illinois. Forces insurance companies to cover the cost of abortion for any reason and the cost of gender transitioning surgery for any reason. Protects the Department of Public Health from any liability for the damage that the contraceptive or hormonal drugs they dispense may cause. People, it's a bill from hell! So now part of your insurance premium is going to go to pay for gender butchery surgery for little kids. And quacks who lost their medical license in other states can now come to Illinois, kill all the little babies they want to their little heart's content. And during the debate on the floor, State Senator Darren Bailey stood up and said this.
Had an interesting last few hours celebrating life, celebrating children. I have absolutely no idea how we move into something like this after that. I have no words for it other than pure evil. I'd like to share a reading from you out of Psalm 139. I'd like to just share verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. And I would encourage anyone to look up and read the remainder of that chapter, Psalm 139, starting with verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. This is wrong. God help us.
And folks, that guy is absolutely right. What's coming out of Springfield, Illinois right now is absolutely pure evil. And of course, the God's word that he read fell on deaf ears because that bill passed anyway, overwhelmingly. Folks, God sends his word, and if people don't receive it and they don't repent, the only thing left is judgment. Last November, California declared itself a sanctuary state for transgenderism. So 10-year-old kids all over America, if they can make it to California, they can have cut off any body part they want without their parents even knowing about it. And what's happening to California right now? Half the state is flooded. The other half of the state's still on fire. You cannot blow off God's word with impunity because God's word judges. So the judgment for Illinois isn't just coming. Take a look around. It's already here. So parents, there comes a time you just got to grab your kids by the hand and lead them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 28, these people have not obeyed the Lord. They have not responded to correction and truth has vanished from their lips. So they are under the condemnation of God and the wrath of the Lord is on them. You don't let God pierce you. The Word of God is going to judge you. And that's why so many people were freaked out about that. Show the video.
That's not what any of us want to see, and everybody's around him, and just hope that he's going to be okay.
So, last Monday night, January the 2nd, when Bill's safety, DeMar Hamlin, collapsed on that field, and trainers and EMTs were doing CPR and got his heart jump started and loaded him in the meat wagon to take him to UC Medical Center, an amazing thing happened. People were praying. They were praying because football players don't just die in a football field. And people were so gobsmacked, players, coaches, trainers were, can you believe it, taking a knee and praying. And the reason that's so amazing is, remember the seven kinds of hell the NFL put Tim Tebow through when he took a knee and prayed on the field? And if you don't have a memory like I do, here's just a few examples of some of the flack that he took, from Bob Costas to Boomer Esiason and everybody in between. The football field is not a place for sanctimonious expressions of religion. That needs to be left in the locker room. What Tebow's doing is offensive and against everything that this country and this league really stands for. He's just a terrible NFL quarterback, so I guess he's probably praying to keep his job. He needs to stop shoving religion down the American people's throat. Opposing players even mocked him by Tebowing on the field every time they would sack him. But see, Damar Hamlin goes down, all of a sudden it's okay to pray in the NFL again. And then Colin Kaepernick came along. And the NFL turned into the take a knee league, but not to pray to God, but to protest the American flag and the national anthem. And the NFL stopped being about football. It was all about Black Lives Matter and anti-racist claptrap and cop glorifying cop killers and defunding the police. After Damar Hamlin went down, ESPN commentator Ryan Clark said this, "These players are heroes because they put their lives on the line every single day." Now, let's just get some perspective here. Professional football players do risk their health every single game. But soldiers, policemen, firemen, first responders, they really do legitimately put their lives on the line, really legitimately every single day. Even though they make peanuts compared to what professional athletes make. But for the last 2 years, players all over the NFL couldn't take 90 seconds and stand up to honor the sacrifice that they made and the flag that represents it. But see, Damar Hamlin goes down. Oh my goodness, everybody's taking a knee for the right reason and praying like crazy. And you know why? Because the people all over America, people all over the world, were so horrified by what they saw. Because what happened on that field reminded them of something that none of us likes to think about. Life is very fragile. And life is very short. And when trouble comes, we naturally turn to something outside of ourselves because God created us to do that. So during that game, ESPN coverage, ESPN anchor Dan Orlovsky, can you believe it, did this on the air.
Maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
Damar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad. We're angry, and we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you. And pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 He prayed. And people, the reason that's so amazing is because ESPN today is just a left-wing propaganda organization that just once in a while happens to broadcast a sporting event. But that guy prayed without shame, with honesty, prayed with absolute humility, and even mentioned the name of Jesus in the whole thing. And his co-hosts Laura Rutledge and Marcus Spears bowed their heads and prayed right along with him. And after he was done, gazillions of people tweeted in their support, and not one person complained or raised a stink about it. And the good news is Damar Hamlin not only got resuscitated, last Wednesday he went home from the hospital, and doctors say what happened to him is an absolute miracle of God. You see what the Word of God can do? Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." But you know why else people were praying? Even people who weren't Christians? Even people who never darkened the door of a church? Because last Monday night, January the 2nd, when Damar Hamlin collapsed on that field, just for a moment, the Holy Spirit used what happened on that field to remind people of the absolute most critical, two most important things of all that the Bible tells us over and over again. Number one, there is a God. And number two, your life is completely and totally in His hands. Because if that can happen to a super freak athlete like Damar Hamlin, it can sure enough happen to you. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, there is but a step between us and death. Every single one of us, every single one of us is one short breath, one measly heartbeat away from dying. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, the nanosecond that you die, you stand before God in judgment. And we need to be ready for it. And most of us know that we're not. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're not ready. Are you? Every single one of us has one life to prepare to stand before God on judgment day. And you know what's going to be judging us? The words of this book, John chapter 12, verse 48. The truth that God gives us in this book over and over and over again. So you're not going to judge the Bible. The Bible is going to judge you. The words of this book. And according to this book, if you're not a Christian, you're already judged. You're already condemned. You're already on your way to hell, just as sure as you're sitting there. But see, the good news is, as long as you got one breath left in your body, you still got a chance. Because when you boil it down to gravy, this Bible is really only about two things. Jesus Christ and you knowing Him as your Savior. The doctrine of Scripture says, as holy as God is, our sin separates us from God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. But 2,000 years ago, this book says, God loved us so much in spite of our sin, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth to die on a cross to pay the price for our sin. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead to prove that it was true. So today, if you confess your sin to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sin away, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior, you'll be saved and forgiven. And when you die and stand before God on judgment day, you will have no fear because the blood of Jesus will have washed all your sins away. You say, well, Kevin, I've never read this book. It's no excuse. You're going to be judged even more because you should have read it, because you're responsible for reading it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You are not ready to die and stand before God on judgment day, and you know it. You don't know Christ as your Savior, and you know it. You know that you're lost. You know if you died tonight, you would go to hell. If you're in this room, listen to this sermon right now, and that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Every single person here, serious as a heart attack, I see that hand. Praise God. Praise God. I see that hand in the back. Praise God. God says in His Word, in the book of Psalms, His Spirit will not always strive with men. And what that means is you do not have limitless opportunities to get saved. You can only come to Christ when He calls you. And there are some of you here, I don't have a melodramatic bone in my body, but you are hearing God speak to you right now in a way you will never hear His Holy Spirit before. Today is the day. It's right now. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18, I see that hand. Praise God. Today is the day. If you hear His voice, you do not harden your heart. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I see that hand. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You that Your Word is so serious and Your Word is so clear. Lord, we are all lost and there is a very simple way, Lord, that we can be saved. 2,000 years ago, You provided Your Son, Jesus Christ, as payment for our sin. We simply accept that payment by faith, and our sins are taken away. Just pray for everybody, Lord, who raised their hand, Lord, that they would just be praying to receive You right now. Jesus, I confess to You right now that I am a sinner. I put Your faith in the blood that You shed on the cross to take my sins away, and I ask You to come into my heart and be my Savior and start living Your life through me and change me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just pray for everybody who prayed that prayer, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would be working in them and just draw them closer to You. Pray, Lord, that we would be in Your Word for the promise and the life that it gives. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen. Amen. Praise God.